This is reel six of six reels that Mike Dalton taped with Simon Sobolev in central Alaska in August of 1973, and perhaps July of 73. Simon is a naturalized United States citizen, served in the Tsar's army during the... He's been in the United States since the late 20s. Graduated from Oregon and then came up in mining engineering, came up to Alaska. I'm sitting in, when I say central Alaska, I mean the town of Central, which is near Circle Hot Springs. In Central. I think he's getting tired of me talking to him.
No, you lied.
Anyway, I just came back from Birch Creek, where I went down and sat on the banks and enjoyed myself. Now I'm back bothering Simon. In the meantime, Simon wrote down a few notes on places he has worked in the Circle District. He says the creeks that I worked for wages are in the Circle District are one, Eagle Creek for the Berry Holding Company; two, Mammoth Creek for the Berry Dredging Company; three, Harrison Creek for Johnson Company; four, Deadwood Creek for the Deadwood Mining Company. That was with the Reedy brothers, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reedy brother, yeah.
And then he makes a note here that Dorothy Reedy and Vida Bartlett are good friends.
Yeah,
I know that. Yeah,
yeah, that's,
and
yeah, yeah.
Mrs. Bartlett would come out and visit quite often,
yeah,
wouldn't she? And then in 1943 and...
1944.
And 44, during World War II, he writes, I was associated as a civil engineer with the United States Corps of Engineers, Army Corps of Engineers, with the permanent status of Federal Civil Service at Northway Air Base, in charge of field work of many projects. When the war was over, the areas were terminated, including Northway Air Base, and I went back to mining again in the Circle District. In 1955, I was employed as highway engineer for the Bureau of Public Roads. That's with the federal government again. And as civil service again.
Civil service, yeah.
Later, I was district materials engineer with the grade of GS-11 with the BPR. I retired in 1960. So, when you were district materials engineer, then you traveled all over the interior district.
Many years, so here, in interior of Alaska here. But
you headquartered here in Central or Fairbanks?
In Fairbanks. Fairbanks, I home in Fairbanks.
And then you'd live here in the summer?
In the summertime, yeah. My wife, it was here, I was at Fairbanks. But I come here once in a while, of course.
Okay, but now your wife's name is Eva.
Eva, yeah.
And what was her name before you married her?
Clark, Eva Clark.
Eva Clark.
Yeah.
And she was the cook, and you stole her from the Reedy brothers, right?
She was cooking at the Deadwood Mining Company for Reedy brothers, see? And then I stole her, get married her 25 years ago at Chokahaw Spring by this one of those commissioners, Virginia Gardner.
Virginia Gardner?
Gardner, yeah. He was a cook at that time at Chokahaw Spring, too.
Virginia Gardner married you?
Yeah, Virginia Gardner married me, yes, at Chokahaw Spring.
At the Springs.
At the Springs, yeah.
Okay, and at the time that you and Eva were married, now Eva had children.
Oh yes, Eva had.
Was she a widow?
She was divorced at that
divorced.
Time. Yeah,
I see.
She had to show me the divorce paper. She got divorce paper, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't ask you why. Not my business. You see, that's okay.
But she had been married before.
Oh,
and
yeah,
had
twice.
Children.
First husband was Bragg, and he died.
Black?
Bragg, B-R-A-G-G, Bragg, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he died. So he got down two kids that from her, boy, that Bragg, and a daughter, Virginia Bragg.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one that he got now three, let's see, three grandson now, you see, that old guy, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so that then she also got now... the three great grandchildren, boys. Well, no, two boy grandchildren and one girl. See.
Mm-hmm. But she had two children of her own.
Oh, two children of her own. Only boy and girl. That's
boy
all.
And a girl.
Boy
okay.
and a girl. See.
So you married her in, if it was 25 years ago, it was
1948, by the Virginia Gardner, commissioner of the Shokahas Springs.
Okay.
Pronounced as husband and wife. You had a hell of a good time.
You had a hell of a good time. Yeah. You have a hell of a good party.
Oh, yeah, party was here.
At this house?
Yeah. Or? Next one, house. Yes.
Did everybody in Central and the Springs come?
Oh, yes. I got pictures here. I showed that sometime. Yeah. Yeah, picture them. I think I make it even notation there someplace that on the other side that we have them. Maybe here, I don't know.
Did you send out invitations for the wedding?
No, they don't know. So they don't know.
Just muckluck telegraph?
Muckluck telegraph, that's all. Yeah.
So this summer, while you're here in Central, your wife Eva is at your home in Gig Harbor.
Gig Harbor, yeah. We got over there nice. Well, she likes to, she had been, and we like to show the pictures there. 1966, and we drove the car.
Yes.
And she'd like to come once more. She maybe will come next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not drive the car in one of those here.
Fly up and then drive out from Fairbanks.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe it'd be easier if you flew from Fairbanks.
Well, she was there. I come first. She might go. That was her name. Maybe one of her grandson. Maybe drive the car. Mm-hmm.
I see.
But she liked to visit here yet once more because her home. Before they married me, she never had what they call real home.
She had no real home.
Yeah, he used to work hard and even cut the wood for the wages to support
the children. When did she first come to Alaska?
1947, I guess, 46.
46 or 47.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was there. She was babysitting at Fairbanks. Even for that guy was a... what's his name, that radio announcer, I've forgotten the name, who used to be...
Al Bramstedt?
Al Bramstedt, he...
Is that right?
Yeah, she babysit for him.
I just saw him last week.
Yeah.
He drove up from Anchorage to Fairbanks.
He was there, I know him too.
He's very crippled now, he has arthritis. Very, very badly. Yeah, very in the knees and in the back.
That's
well, it was nice of you to give Eva a home.
Well, that's
and there are pictures of your home in Gig Harbor. It looks like a beautiful home.
Yeah, it is nice. Now, you see, tell you that's what I conclusion with my head or what?
Yeah, why don't you?
You read or I read?
You read it.
Okay. Now I'll try to read slowly and distinctly for
distinctly.
You. Distinctly.
Yeah. You have a tremendous vocabulary, but sometimes you speak
too fast. And they call me, I had a very heavy Swedish accent.
Swedish accent?
Yeah.
From mid-Russia.
Mid-Russia, yeah. Well, I want to say this expressed many thanks to you, Mrs.
Dalton.
And I appreciate you meeting me and record my past history, which is not very bright and famous, but nevertheless, rather exceptional case you have to record this, because I had lots of experience in the past. I try to sometimes write a book about it so that people can maybe get some people get benefit out of that. But I will try to check it now. If you sometime go to a pioneer meeting there, I wish to ask you to deliver best wishes to all the pioneers of Alaska, and I want to them keep up your Alaska spirit. And the frontier life still exists here under the 8 stars of golden field of blue, the Alaskan flag may it mean to you. Now I quote some of those verses from the Alaskan flag song.
Yeah.
Brilliant stars in the northern sky, bear and deeper the shining high. Great North Star with steady light over land and sea, a beacon bright. Good luck to you, and God bless you.
Oh, that's very nice. The pioneers would appreciate that message. There's a pioneer meeting tomorrow in Fairbanks, and I think I'll be back in time for that, so I'll pass that on to them.
Okay.
Could I ask you a couple more questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I know I'm bothering you, but this tape, well, I'll leave you in peace, and then I was going to ask Pat Oakes if she would pick you up about 5 and take you over to the spring.
Oh, that's the reason I changed the clothes. I put a little bit...
can go with me when I go.
Yeah, okay, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
And I had that dirty clothes and that she has to put the green one. Then I will be what they call busy next couple of days to wash me, do my washing.
Do your washing.
Yeah. And then the next Saturday I go to that
Fairbanks. And then you'll return to Washington.
Yeah, return to Washington, yes.
Who watches after your house when you're gone in the winter?
Here?
Nobody?
Well, here, my neighbor here, that matches here, see?
His name is Mathis.
Mathis, yes. He's a lawn Mathis, that's his son.
Lawn Mathis.
Yeah, he's watching that. He's now working for the highway department here as a mechanic.
I see.
He's a good electrician,
mm-hmm.
see?
Mm-hmm.
So he comes and he works here. Of course, some kind of special, I got some kind of arrangement that I don't close the wind, but I have special cardboard to hanging over the window only.
Oh, you cover the windows so the bears won't break in.
Not only that, but even people maybe take a look. Bear,
yeah.
Or bear he can, but I got that iron sheets that he can make a noise, so he can't. He's a little bit afraid of noise, you know. That's, but otherwise, I don't want to let anybody. Well, ask me all the day, all kind of people. There was yesterday a guy come in when you left, by a fellow named Raymond. Yeah. Raymond, he used to be Fred Parker was a co-partner in mining. Fred Parker?
Yeah.
Well, I know, he was my classmate in the
University. Yeah,
Well, he was mining here in Deadwood Creek. And I have seen him.
Came yesterday?
Yesterday, not the Fred, but his partner, Raymond.
Raymond.
But together was mining there. But Fred Parker, he said he's mining on Engineer Creek. Not Engineer Creek, but Fish engineers.
Fairbanks Creek,
mining down there.
Yeah.
See? But this camp here, what's his name, Raymond.
Raymond.
I didn't know, I could see for a long time.
Yeah.
And he came, he got another partner. And we brought the bottle of whiskey here. Well, I said, you don't need to do that. And he put it and left it with me. I got some time, Bachelor, he brings me some bottle of whiskey, so I hide it over there. When I come next year, I got more whiskey over here. Devils, you know. I told Bachelor, Ellis, you don't need to bring that whiskey. No, he always brings good, best whiskey.
He's a good man.
Yeah.
He's a good man.
Oh, yeah. So this guy, he came, brought a bottle of whiskey. And he saw me, who was Raymond. Oh, well, says, you. Partner of that, he said, I'm partner of Fred Parker. I should say so. I said, I know Fred Parker pretty well. We were mining here on Casper ground. It is here not too far away. And Casper, he's old timer, he's some kind of mean in the way. He's generous in the way, but he's mean.
Yeah.
He wants to get too much money for that ground. He had already plenty of money in the past, you see. And he spent lots of money somewhere else, but he. And so that he said he can afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He just let it go, see. Now they come now, the deal now was there, that will click. And I know the ground pretty well. He wants me to come and show him what I was sinking the hole there, because I prospected quite a bit around these places, you see. Well, I told him, well, you can find it over there. I said, I don't want to go over there, walk, that's going to be too
pretty,
hard for me.
Yeah, pretty tough walk.
Yeah. But they got over there. So they're going to mine that creek about maybe, I think there will be maybe almost a mile creek left yet to mine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, before they had mining there too, that like old timers, drifting and so on like that, but no machinery was used. No machinery.
Yeah.
And then now they can use machinery, hydraulic and so on like that.
They're going to try to start mining this summer?
Well, maybe they're
getting ready. Or get ready for next season.
And it will last a long time because they get lots of ground, because White Creek was there. And I said, that's only mine. Of course, I get claim. I give it up, and I shouldn't. But I had collected $2,000 for royalty. Old guy was just supposed to mine it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I should keep it too. But what the heck? What I want to do with that?
Yeah.
I don't mine anymore. Well, let it mine, but you see.
Well, you were saying earlier that you used to. Were you a partner with Irving Nestlin?
Nestlin? Well,
up in the Koyukuk?
Yeah, we were.
Were you partners?
We were together. Yeah, but
when did you go up in the Koyukuk?
1940, I think.
40?
Yeah.
Just for one season?
Well, a little more, one season, I guess. But I worked one summer, then I went to come back to Fairbanks, you see.
Then you went to Bettles and then up to Wiseman?
Yeah, Wiseman, yeah.
And Irving Nestlin mined out of Wiseman.
Yeah, that's right. Well, he mined later on because Archie Lair, he's the one who owned it to begin with. He hired Nestlin and me. I was Archie's friend. She was mining a dead book.
Hired you and Irving Nestlin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So, Archie was a very good friend of mine. Many years I worked with him here. And with that one, it was my next assignment, you go with me.
Mm-hmm.
Kayaking. I said, okay, so we flew over there with it. He got big outfit there, the Ashi wear. We mine on benches.
You flew in there?
Well, we flew on Porcupine Creek. One of those bush plane, talking about the loader.
Who was the pilot? Was it Pollock?
Pollock, yeah.
Yeah. Who are some of the other pilots you flew with?
Well, Maurice King.
Maurice King?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's the one lost, you see.
Yes,
yeah.
He was lost in a glacier lost, down in the south.
Then other pilots I flew with, they like, what, when the wind
Sigwin?
Went. Yeah, when they went. What was that? Cosipian Loma, we flew with them. Not that's a Wien airline.
Well, did you fly with Sig Wien and Fritz Wien?
Yeah, Sig Wien.
No, Sig and Noel were the pilots,
yeah.
I guess.
That guy.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, that's quite a few. I forgot now name. They're pretty nice pilots over here. Then I flew here. All the pilots were when there was not that air, just prison airfield, but also was all the one was airfield here close to Fairbanks. Yeah. We went to that. He took me to a. Oh, what's his name? I forgot now. Dalton, I guess, and the other one, guy fly for from Pollock and also again maybe two, to mm-hmm. the Root Chopper Creek and Coal Creek on the Yukon
yeah.
River here, you
yeah.
see. And one thing I said, one guy, very, very nice, I forgot his name, I just like him very much, that pilot.
Gillum? Did you fly
maybe,
with Gillum?
Maybe so, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he's one thing that stick. We loaded his plane, a bush pilot. On the weak airfield now, that time weak airfield.
Weeks field.
Yeah, weeks field, you see.
Yeah.
And the guy who was mechanic said, whatever, the load of the plane was heavy stuff. And he said, that pilot said, who's going to fly that? You or I? he says, you, Glenn. Well, I said, if I had to fly, you take this out. Because he put the heavy irons in that plane and he said, overweight.
Yeah.
He said, if you better take it out. I said, I'm not going to fly with that stuff you put over there.
Did he take it out?
Oh, yes, he can. Yes, yes. I said, no, no.
Well, when you went to Kotzebue and Nome, were you working for the highway department?
Highway department, then? Yeah. I went to that. First, I went to Kotzebue to get that on the. I got even maps over there, sketches on the Kotzebue there, because I want to get that. There was street, there was a good street. They were trying to fix up the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I find for them borrow a piece to put the material.
So you were the materials engineer
so
at the time.
Be sure that material, yeah.
Yeah.
So I take the sample over there, what they tell them which one to put it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was there, he talked to me. And I stayed overnight there. She did Eskimo dances and so on like that. They give me very good time there.
Good.
Yeah. So then next time I went to Nome. In Nome I stayed quite a while. Not itself in Nome, but I stayed maybe a couple of weeks in Nome itself. Then I took off on a road location, Dexter Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Dexter Creek and Nome Creek over a river flow empties into the Bering Sea.
So this was in the
1950s. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So go out over there, you see. And then we go to that road location
mm-hmm.
towards the Cushetan River there. That was there. Build that road, build the bridge across the Cushetan River. I had borrow all the borrow pit location. And Matthew recommended what to put a word to get it, you see.
You recommended where to get it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I was mm-hmm. indicating. Take it here, put this one.
Well, to get back to the Circle District, when you first came here, you walked from here, clear around the foothills,
right
up to Charlie River and back. You've walked hundreds and hundreds and
hundreds
of miles.
Miles. Yeah.
Did you ever come real close to getting attacked by a bear?
Well, yes.
Did you ever have any real problems?
Very
with
problem. I was one only here on the Interbent.
Only one.
Only once, but the heck, that I meet lots. Of, I hunted. I killed grizzly, big one. I was somewhere. My Barton Brown, he killed quite a few grizzly, and the grizzly are not afraid of men. They're some pretty brave.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, there was a caribou big herd pass by our place in Charlie River. See?
On Charlie River.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for you can see that who follow the caribou game, that wolf go killed the weak caribou. Pretty soon, Mr. Bear go. That he
pretty soon, Mr. Bear
pick
came.
Pick up the what the wolf killed. You see?
Yeah.
So. That was okay. Then, of course, I remember we set the traps. Was there for big trap, 18-pound trap
for bears?
For bear, and my partner we said that now you can Simon go that river take a look. Bear, of course, you can shoot it, but wolf. But if it fox or what, I don't shoot it. So I didn't know what it was. I take a look. There somebody was there. Took the bear out, and that was
You took the bear out of the trap?
No, not bear, but other animal.
Wolverine?
Wolverine, yeah, Wolverine devil. He was in the trap. But he was so much, oh boy, he So I obeyed it like a soldier. I have some soldier. I obeyed it what my old partner told me. He got no more than I do in the hills. He's been many, many years in the past.
Yeah.
He's trapper and so came. He's a regular human, that guy. Very, very interesting man.
But the Wolverine was still alive?
He realized if I come in, he just jump on me to hell, you see, like that. And rattled that trap, big trap and toggle. He took a bit, he drag it about 30 feet from here to over there, dragging around. And I like a fool, put my rifle 30, 40 under the trees, and pick up my big stick, and I come to him. I come, bow you, he just took around. And I pounced him. That's what my partner.
But your partner said not to shoot him.
Not to kill him.
Kill him with a club.
Yeah, from the club. But he told me that because you see it. So I pounced him. I pounded those that all got Wolverine. And I, of course, I got cramped. You know that get the trap out.
Yeah.
And get the brought it home. All beaten to heck, you know.
He beat his head.
Yeah, and he said, "Heck, you! So I don't want to shoot it." Well, as you told me not to shoot it on the bear. Well, that is a worse than bear. Yes, if it
worse than
yeah,
bear.
Yeah, if he catches you, he will kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was grizzly business. We come one time that my partner said, "I see the moose over there." He said on the other side of the timber there. We were on the bench on the higher over that flat, and. Well, I said, I go out, Simon, I said, and they chase the moose to the river. He said, you are better shot than I am. You go, when I chase him, he comes here, you shoot the moose, we will meet. And of course, he went out there, and the first thing I see him, yelled, you know, the moose. And, hello, baby, you see, he got the
horn. That was your partner saying that?
Partner, yeah, he got over the horn, you know, rubbing the trees over there and so on. And pretty soon I heard the shooting. Bang, bang, bang. Well, I thought maybe he killed the moose. So we had a little bit not too far away, only half a mile to shack we had about to see. So I'll go get my pack and get ready to pack the meat home, you see, that he will be caught. I come back and I says, but did you kill the moose? No, I said, damn thing, no moose. He said, that damn grizzly bear, he said.
Is that right?
Yeah, but he didn't kill him, just
wounded him.
Wowed any place, you see, yeah. And all right, now after 3-4 days, we come in the same place, watching that game with the wolf. We want to watch, kill some wolf, but I got ready for them. Then I take a look, there's another bear coming on the flat. But he said that, that's a moose, he said to me. It's shining, you know, neck. When the, well, I said, I thought, I don't, well, I said, the moose has some usually go straight. He don't, but this bear, he come from picking up the blueberry in the flat.
Yeah.
From patch to patch. Well, I said, I don't think it's a bear, I said, that's what it is. I'm going to get it. So I went after that bear, that grizzly bear, see? And I was very, very careful, go across the river, and he was on the flat, the negro heads, and picking up the berries, that the bear.
Yeah.
And my Alfie watched me too behind, not too far away, but I, like a soldier, go on the belly, crawl that on the negro heads, and watching the wind, and I was aiming right at his neck here, try to aim, to hit, shoot him in the neck, so put out of commission. 30-40, that rifle. Squeeze the trigger, down he bear went, never moved. And when you take a look, you know where I hit him? Rice core in the ear, shot his brain off.
Yeah.
And that's the reason he didn't move no place. And Al, you know that my partner, my gosh, he said, Simon, what did you aim it? Well, that's what I aim right in the ear, I said, but I didn't. Just good luck.
Good luck.
You see, I just maybe jerked to the right, you see,
and
a wind is carrying it. Instead of neck, he got so a little bit, maybe 3-4 inches.
Right
in the ear.
Well, did you ever have a grizzly attack you?
No, never attacked. I know, I'm afraid of them. But I went after him on purpose, to chase a bit to heck on purpose. But I had to regard for all the time ready for him, you see.
Yeah.
But here, on Independence Creek, here where that, where the Miller House, you see, the Independence Creek, where the Butler was
Independence
working.
Creek.
Butler was working. I was working on that, what's his name? Zimmerman over there. I was foreman.
Tony Zimmerman?
Yeah, well, I was his foreman there for a while.
I see.
I was his foreman over there on that summer. And There come quite often the garbage pan over there to our place. We got the garbage pile over there when we camp. Now we see brown bear now and then, but he was come a little bit too sometime close. Pretty good size brown bear. One time I was in the middle of the house there and get me what they call some cigarettes or something like that. I got rifle 30-40, walk around that. It's a zigzagging road there, you see.
Yeah.
So I go out there and see that bear down the creek where our camp was there.
Near your camp?
Near our camp, below there. Mm-hmm. The bear took a look at me and he started on the full speed toward me, galloping. Toward me, yeah. So, right close to one house. So I took the rifle right away and took a shot. I don't think I hit him or not, I forgot. But anyway, when I take the shot, he turned square away from me, beating the heels.
Mm-hmm.
But he was coming to on the full speed to me.
Yeah.
If I didn't shoot, well, he would just grab me, that's always to that.
How close did he get to you?
Well, let's see. I bet you could take quicker from me, maybe all closer than that fence, not too far.
Closer than the fence?
Yeah.
So that's less than 50 feet.
So, less than 50, maybe 30, 20
feet. You must have hit him.
I must hit him.
In the foot or
something? Yeah, whatever. I think maybe hit about 20, 25 feet from me.
Yeah. Well, you became a good marksman. You got your training in the Russian Army.
I have what they call American Army. I had what they call sharpshooter. Always get the medal for $3 extra.
Your first experience was in the Russian Army.
Oh, yes, that was.
Did they train you to be expert marksman in the
Russian Army? Well, not so much. Maybe in the peacetime they do have required police, but the last war they didn't have enough what they call rifle or ammunition, sort of like that. They give you only a few shots. But when I was in military school, cadets, you see, they get all the shoots you want. The machine guns and everything else. Artillery.
Well, you've killed moose and caribou, but you just kill them for meat.
Meat, that's
when
all. That's all. Never kill any game. Unless I need for eat, but I don't kill game just because of killing. Oh no!
How about your wife? Did she ever go hunting with you?
Well, she gone once in a while. She went up to here, that would take an occasion. Hill over there, beautiful. She went right with me, up to the hills over there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's a good walker, but now she's heavy.
How is she? How does she prepare moose or caribou? Does she make stew out of it?
Oh, yeah, well, we made the steak and roast, and she's cooking it, and then she gets all kind of, hit it together. She likes the moose meat. It's almost like a beef, she likes that.
Yesterday, when I left your house here and was going back to the springs, a young bull was right in the road, and I watched him for a while. Do you have moose come right up to your house here?
Oh, yes.
Or bear?
Yeah, a moose coming once in a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you could stay here until fall time, you got the moose right maybe here someplace.
Right in the...
Quite a few fellow do get moose right close here,
Well, there seem to be quite a few people living in this area now, a lot of traffic, so maybe that...
Well,
does that seem to frighten
that,
some
of... Of course, that the traffic, that's what the fight put up to me.
And when I came yesterday, I stopped and read that sign out there in the room. It says Central. Established 1893, population enough. The home of rugged individuals.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Then down at the bottom, signed by the sign makers, says Oaks Services and Galvin Enterprises.
Yeah, Oaks.
Pat Oaks
and Galvin. Yeah, Galvin, he's a nice guy.
He's a big game
here.
Guide.
Yeah, he's a guide. You know?
Yeah.
That's the one he's now place when I was in the Chal River, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice, very beautiful country there. And it is a reserve now. Nobody going to go out and stick and do hunting, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that nowadays helicopters and planes go over there, fly back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the people to just cut it for the game, you see. And it's nice, beautiful place over there. And I told him once he went up before he got, I told him that's a nice place over there because I have been over there. And not only for game purposes, but it would be pretty nice for development. The highway was there some these days. And mineral resources, they have tremendous mineral resources in that part of Alaska.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Do you think there's ever any, in the near future, do you think the highway department will build a road from Circle to Eagle or from Central?
Well, that's what the intention is, because they had already, I know, because when I go to highway department, I go again when I come to Fairbanks, and she visit Woody and some of the shots over there. Well, they tell me quite a bit, they don't all, but most of them tell what the project is in the future, you see.
Yeah.
So they have that in the mind. Mm-hmm. A matter of fact, one of those parties did go out one time, and reconnaissance did from Petrovichuka Hot Spring and toward the Chal River, what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They two routes they spotted, one close to Yukon, River, that's on the, another one, they're up, the,
up in the hills.
Up the hills, you see. Mm-hmm. And I told them, I said, I like to see that you wrote which you get it up on the hills, because that opened up the big country there. Nobody, yeah. Lots of country. Lots.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful coming down over Eagle Summit in here.
Yes.
And do you go through, I went as far as Birch Creek today, do you go through many hills between Birch Creek and Circle?
Well, the only hills over there, you see that, Mike, that the hills over there, you see the hills at the top of that?
Yeah.
But on the other side of the Birch, that's the gravel hills, mostly gravel, not
gravel
the
hills, gravel hills, yeah. Then you, over them is the Yukon.
Yukon, yeah, see.
So the Yukon, from here to Circle, it's what, 30 miles?
About
30 miles?
Yeah, 30, maybe 32 miles, like mm-hmm. that, you see. The fire from Fairbank to Circle, it was 196 miles to Circle, you see, yeah.
162.
162, yeah.
That's about 130 to here.
Yeah, now, yeah, 100, yeah. So that, this mile was here, 128 at Central here, but mm-hmm. that's the 130, close enough, yeah, see.
On that sign, it says that Central was established in 1893. Do you know who established Central? Was it just a mining?
1893, that's a mining rush at the time, gold rush, 1893, see?
Yeah.
That's a gold rush circle opened up here in early days.
Circle and Central was
Central
just, what, a roadhouse?
Yeah, that's right.
And the springs were discovered early, too.
Well, that's about the same time, maybe, you see, mm-hmm. because that influx of that, lots of people in Circle. Yes, I understand it. The Circle was a pretty busy place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With thousands of people come to Circle there, 1893, 1894. And a whole kind of salon and dancing, romancing, girls, whatever.
Yeah.
There, you see?
That's what I read about.
Yeah, that's right. All kind of stuff, you know.
Dancing and romancing.
Yes, you had go waiters and so on. And of course, those roughneck, they were
gangsters,
gamblers. Gamblers and so on. And roughneck, they got the gold and give it to the girls, the gold, and so like that, you see. So that they get making pretty good money. I met some of them from Middle Fork of Kayakuk country too, that Coalhool they call that. That's one of Coalhool.
Coalfoot.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, she used to be there. And the girl I met, she was there. Well, I don't know what she was doing, but she was one of sporting girls too. And she made lots of money there. And she was very nice to me. I met her in the Fairbanks. I talked to her about that. And she asked me all kind of questions about the Middle Fork.